Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And a little bit later, Kevin will tell you about the car he's driving this week. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Audrey Snyder for the Post-Gazette. And the final half hour, Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News. So we have a lot this hour on Saturday's game, which will be a noon kickoff. We'll be on the air with the tailgate show. Jack Ham, Joe Putnam, Roger Corey, and Jeff Tarman and company beginning at 10:30. And you'll hear it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So we'll have Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News coming up here in about a half an hour. And we'll talk to Audrey here in a few moments, get her thoughts. She was out there practice, tail end of practice last night. We'll get her thoughts on that as well. So let's bring in Audrey Snyder, who does a great job and has done a great job of covering Penn State football for many years now at the Post-Gazette. Audrey, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Great to be on.
Okay, you saw the tail end of Wednesday's practice. What were your thoughts? What did you observe?
Well, Steve, I think the big thing is here, you know, they say they're going to try different offensive line combinations, and after the way things went against Temple, they certainly need to. Now, while we were there working, the line was pretty much the same. Granted, they were working goal line, so pretty vanilla looks. We saw a little bit of the second team. Trace McSorley threw a touchdown pass to Kyle Carter, which Franklin said on Tuesday that Carter will be back in the mix. So after a tight end didn't catch a single pass in the season opener, maybe this week the tight ends will kind of be part of the game plan a little bit more. But the other big thing, too, I think, is the middle linebacker position. And Franklin said Cooper, Cabinda, and Gary Wooten Jr. have all gotten looks there. So how that kind of shakes out will be key for this week. But my gut is that they go with Cabinda. I think that's a move that makes the most sense for them.
All right, let's get to last Saturday's game. As you sat there and you watched the first quarter, what were your thoughts in the first quarter versus your thoughts in the final three quarters?
The first quarter, I thought, man, this offense is definitely better. The first two drives, they go down, get 10 points. And really, you know, could have almost been 14 points, but Hackenberg had the one pass that kind of sailed behind the receiver. I want to say it was Geno Lewis, if I recall correctly, that resulted in them going for a field goal. So, you know, really left kind of 14 points out on the field there. We're able to come away with 10. And just thinking, okay, you know, the offensive line's holding up. Akeel Lynch had that huge hole on the left side to run through. And then from there at the end, I mean, it just crumbled and continued to steadily crumble all the way until those last two plays, which were, of course, sacks 9 and 10. So, you know, really, you can't even say a tale of two halves on that one, because everything after the first quarter, and then as soon as Wharton gets hurt in the second quarter, just downhill from there.
When they got the turnover, Brandon Bell stripped Walker the ball, and Torrance Brown recovered, and they got the ball at the 45. I remember saying on the broadcast, here comes a key moment in the game, and then they went three and out, and then we went to a break, and I looked, and Jack and I both agreed right away, uh-oh, that was maybe a potential turnaround there. Well, it ended up being what I think is a 14-point turnaround. What were your thoughts there?
Well, as that thing gets moving, you know, before the half, you're kind of like, okay, you know, you can see that this is a better Temple team. You can see that Penn State was really faltering. And I mean, you look at the final stats now, and you go back and look at this thing, and, you know, 9 first downs for this offense, 180 yards of total offense. I mean, these are numbers that you look at this box score, you can't even make this stuff up. I mean, 10 sacks. in a box score is a number that just jumped out at you. So, yeah, I mean, that was certainly a key moment. And, of course, I mean, Brandon Bell being dinged up then from there on out hampered him. You could tell the kid clearly wasn't 100%. He was favoring that what appeared to be his right ankle as he was trying to move around. And Bell was having a really nice game for them up until he got nicked up. So, you know, the injuries with Wortman, I can certainly understand why the defense had some issues after that, and they were playing without Grant Haley. But offensively, the thing really just went downhill quickly. So this week is a huge, you know, huge moment to see not really what Buffalo does, but what does Penn State do? What can they do better? What changes do they make?
Okay, as you know, the fans have complained that they didn't see adjustments, especially in the second half. Did you, as you watched in the box, sense there were attempts at adjustments, or do you agree with the fans that you didn't see any?
I saw a few, and here's what I'll say about that. You know, when Wortman White goes down, you saw them defensively go to that dollar package a little bit with the six DBs. I think that's a way they can try and make up for some of it, but surely the numbers came right there on defense. I mean, when you burn Jake Cooper's red shirt, you burn Manny Bowen's red shirt, and if you go back and look at the tape, when Temple was around the goal line there, I believe, I want to say late in the third quarter, when Jake Cooper checked in, you know, the kid's head was just spinning. And, I mean, here's a kid who hasn't even been on campus for 3 months, gets thrown into a game, and they're right around the goal line, and he kind of, looks like he almost bounced off of a couple of his own players, just trying to stay up with things. And that's not a slight to Jake. I mean, that's just the situation that they're in. But offensively, I asked James yesterday, you know, why they didn't try some different combinations along that line. Because after you give up five sacks and you start the fourth quarter, I think at that point you're almost fooling yourself if you think something's going to change. So he said, you know, that they had some injuries last week, and looking back at the participation report, I believe it was they traveled 14 offensive linemen, including true freshman Ryan Bates, who didn't play. So you traveled 14 offensive linemen, 10 of them show up on the participation report now, whether it's special teams, like a guy like Albert Hall, Chaz Wright, those kinds of things. So Wendy Laurent didn't show up, so to me, that's the one this week. If Wendy's healthy, maybe you plug him in at center. You can kick Mangiero out. And maybe you move Andrew Nelson if you think that's what you need to do there and bump him over to left tackle in place of Paris Palmer. But certainly they'll have to make some more adjustments this week.
When you look at, you know, what I refer to as video game football, that's how Baylor plays, for example. I refer to it as video game football. Everything they do takes the offensive line out of the mix. Does Penn State need to consider to do it, not play that style, that's not what I'm saying, but the bubble screens and things like that, plays that take the offensive line a little bit more out of the mix?
Well, I mean, I think that's particularly hard to do, especially, I mean, when you have blitzes coming at you left and right pretty much nonstop throughout the game. And, I mean, look at it. You're setting up Hackenberg out of the shotgun because you can't put the kid under center because they just don't have enough time. So, you know, I think they're limited there. We saw the jet sweep a few times that they went to with Brandon Polk. I mean, they had some playmakers there with different skill sets, guys like Polk, guys like DeAndre Tompkins, that are quick kids. But I just don't think you can really do anything without having a line up front. I mean, and they need to have that commitment to the run game. That was something James Franklin highlighted on Tuesday and said, you know, we need to stick with this run game more, because you take away that element, and we saw it for most of last year when they struggled to run the ball, especially early on. Now you're becoming one-dimensional, and you don't have any protection. So that's a recipe for disaster right there. So realistically, if this offensive line can improve, it's going to be a very, very long season for Penn State.
Is your view on the Buffalo game now different a month later, instead of, okay, it's Buffalo, to now a different significance and importance?
Oh, 100% different. You know, this was one of those games going into it that you're like, okay, you know, just get out of this one healthy. Maybe you get Trace McSorley some reps, get some of these young guys, some of these backups, some game experience, which is really important. But now this is really a test for Penn State to see what can they do, these changes that you make, what results do you get out of them. And now you've already been dealt some injuries that you have to overcome with the second game of the season. So far from ideal spot for Penn State to be in, but with that being said, I mean, you've got an opponent that Penn State should still beat and be able to beat in a pretty decent fashion, but I wouldn't say this is going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. Definitely wouldn't say that. But, you know, Penn State needs to figure out what these changes are. What kind of different looks can they get? Does Hackenberg look more settled? But I'm curious, too, Steve, to hear from the fans when they get to the game on Saturday. What happens if Hackenberg comes out and throws an interception? What's the fans' response? What's the fans' response if he takes, you know, a first sack, a second sack? That's kind of what I'm a little more curious to see, how the fans respond after everything that happened last week.
Very interesting. Lance Leopold is the head coach of Buffalo. I have never in my life put down on my chart, no matter who the coach was, Joe Paterno, a record of 110-6. Does it blow you away in some ways that what he did at Wisconsin Whitewater?
Hey, I mean, those are big numbers, and I know Terry Smith said today on his conference call that, you know, these coaches, they are what they are. So they did look at some Wisconsin Whitewater film while they were preparing, but obviously you have to look at Buffalo's film last week and their win against Albany, which, interestingly enough, it was DJ Crook who was the quarterback at Albany last week. And so lots of ties there. But, yeah, Penn State did look at that Wisconsin-Whitewater film a little bit. So can't discredit the numbers, right?
Can't. And, by the way, another Penn State kid, Greg Catuso, was the head coach on the other side, too. So how about that? Catuso coaching Albany. All right, Audrey, thank you so much. I appreciate the time, as always, and always enjoy your insight very much.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much.
Audrey Snyder, Post-Gazette. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Okay, Mark Gunn coming up at 4:35, who writes for the Buffalo News. He's the beat writer that covers University of Buffalo football. Joe Licata, the quarterback, coming in here. It's one thing that is great. There's so many things about today's technology that's not great, as we discover, and with if we left and right for Twitter. But there's so many elements of today's technology that is really great. I mean, I do my charts on computer, the whole deal. There's also a program where I can call up that I get, that I can call up game tape on anybody. And when I, you know, took a look at Buffalo, Joe Licata can play. Joe Licata will never play a down in the NFL. And he never will. But boy, is he a good college quarterback. He is a really good college quarterback. and knows how to play, understands pace of play, the whole deal, good footwork, a lot of great things. Reminds me a lot of Drew Tate, who played at Iowa, very much so. Drew Tate, son of a high school coach who just knows how to play the game, and he's in the Canadian Football League now. Drew Tate would have no shot in the NFL, just, you know, because the measurables aren't there. But the ability to know how to play the game, oh, that's there. And Joe Licata reminds me very much of him. Very much when I watch him play. I watched it and thought, wow, that guy knows how to play college quarterback. And he's thrown 62 touchdown passes in his career. You know, new offensive coordinator, the whole deal. And they were expected to beat Albany last week. They're an FCS team. Greg Gattuso's team wasn't going to have a shot in that game. But.
Yeah, the technology is kind of cool. It's trickled down to the high school level now where a lot of teams now have that all 22 cam from the end zone. And then they can merge that with the sideline cam on a on an app and a website called Huddle. And then all the players can look at it at their leisure as well as on Monday following the game on the Friday before.
What's interesting, the Wall Street Journal article today on quarterbacks I found to be absolutely fascinating because it was talking about, as an example, and it's easy for the Journal to get in touch with anybody involved with the Jets, you know, being a New York-based paper. Even though it's a national paper, they're still based in New York City. So they were able to get a hold of, you know, of people in evaluating Bryce Petty with the Jets. Now, remember, Bryce Petty played with Baylor in that high-powered, high-octane offense they have, which I refer to as video game football. And that's only an expression. That's not me putting it down. But to me, when I watch it or when I broadcast it, that's really the feeling I get in watching it. That's like watching a video game play out in front of you. Well, that doesn't translate to the NFL. And the NFL, as I mentioned, how many times have I mentioned on the show, the NFL is having a real problem with evaluating quarterbacks, a real problem, because they don't play the game on the college level that they play in the NFL. And I remember somebody, they called the show, it was a couple years ago. Remember this, Kev? They called the show a couple of years ago, and they said, oh, you know, Joe's staff did a lousy job of preparing players, quarterbacks for the pros. Okay, who does a great job preparing quarterbacks for the pros? Who? Where's the cradle of quarterbacks? You know, name me the cradle of quarterbacks in the NFL. We'll go through it in 1 second, but here's the deal on Petty. All right? And this is, they say Petty's an example, because Petty would be a dropback quarterback, right? Petty admits to grappling with tasks such as hearing and calling the play, identifying the defensive backs in coverage, and identifying which player in the defensive backfield was the Mike linebacker, which that part there baffles me because at Penn State, that is a staple. Okay, that's a staple. You identify who is the Mike at all times. All times. Christian Hackenberg does it. McGloin, I mean, they identify who's the Mike. That tells the offensive line which guy in the blocking scheme is the Mike linebacker so that they know blocking-wise where he is, and that tells the receivers where the slide happens to be, all right? And the fact that he doesn't do that tells you about Baylor's system. So the central part of the defense whose location teams base their offensive line protection on is the Mike linebacker. Okay, they filled in what I just said. As crazy as it sounds, at Baylor, we did not point out the Mike linebackers, Petty says. Exactly. A lot of teams don't. I can tell you right away which teams do and which teams don't. You can tell. Pre-snap. Penn State always does. And that's typical. That's what you're seeing in the college game today. That you're not getting that. So who's the cradle of NFL quarterbacks? All right, let's see now. The starting quarterbacks in the NFC East are Michigan State, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Eastern Illinois. The starting quarterbacks in the NFC North are Georgia, Cal, Vanderbilt, and Louisville. In the NFC West, they are Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and USC. In the NFC South, they're Boston College, Purdue, Auburn, and who's the other team in the NFC South? Oh, and Florida State. Now, what did you notice in the 16 schools I just named? There were 16 schools. There's no two. Okay, AFC East, Virginia Tech, Texas A&M, Michigan, and Harvard. In the West, it's Tennessee, NC State, Fresno State, and Utah. I haven't named one school twice yet, have I?
No. Harvard was the one I thought was interesting.
That's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
If it's not him, it's then West Virginia. Oh, you've got Stanford. Stanford, Sam Houston State. I mean, these are the starting quarterbacks in the league.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywoods 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin with another great vehicle this week.
A 2016 Ford F-250 Super Duty, which has some interesting options available, like the camper package, if you're thinking about using it for recreation. The trailer tow package is also available, as well as a heavy service front suspension package. And one that I thought might be interesting in my new career, snowplow prep package with the Power Stroke diesel engine, the 6.7-liter diesel engine, extra heavy-duty alternator so that I can actually make the plow go up and down, and I have the auxiliary switches to turn it on inside the vehicle. I can turn on those lights that go right above the plow, and this F-250 will make enough money to pay for itself. And then you'll have money left over so that you can go and, you know, enjoy the fun parts of the F-250 by loading everybody in. Maybe you buy the extended cab version and then put the camper on the back, or maybe the boat or four-wheelers, and enjoy some recreation time. The 2016 Super Duty F-250, also available in F-350 and 450, XL, XLT, and Lariat options are also available in the styles. Find out more at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And, of course, the Kia dealership, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, Hyundai, and Lincoln, also in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Right. Mark Gaughan happens to be the beat writer for the Buffalo News, who covers the University of Buffalo. Mark, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
My pleasure.
All right. So tell me a little bit about former Wisconsin Whitewater coach Lance Leopold and what impression he strikes you with right away.
Well, his record, career record of 1-10-6 is pretty good. He's a low-key guy who is sort of a big-picture overseer of the program. He doesn't call the plays. He lets the delegate to his coordinators and assistant coaches. And, you don't get to be 1-10-6 without knowing what you're doing. So he certainly has a seems like he has a firm command on his style, what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. His first game, the organization, clock management, everything was pretty smooth. So, he knows how to coach.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mentioned earlier in the show, I said for years, when I broadcast a game, I'll have the name of the coach and their record. And, of course, for years, that included Joe Paterno and his record on there. I said, I never once saw 1-10-6 in anything I ever put together. Tell me about Joe Licata, the quarterback. And he had a good year last year. What do you see in him?
He's sort of the opposite of Christian Hackenberg. Christian Hackenberg, you know, from afar, you've got to love everything about him except the way he plays. Licata, you got to love everything. He doesn't bring any of the measurables to the position, but he has phenomenal pocket presence, accuracy, touch, and he just moves the team. He is not a prime NFL prospect. He doesn't have a cannon for an arm. He has a decent arm. They'll throw deep, but he doesn't have a big cannon. He is not super mobile. He's a pocket passer. He knows the offense. He makes great decisions. He's accurate. He has great touch.
Yeah.
He reads defenses. He's calm in the pocket.
Also looked like he spreads the ball out pretty well, and he likes using his tight end. Fair enough.
Yeah, they have a good offense. They scored in the MAC. You know, they have a good MAC offense. They averaged 32 points a game last year, and they probably will do that much again this year in the MAC. They have everybody, they have 8 starters back, a ton of experience. They've got a really good running back. I mean,
Anthony Taylor
is probably better than MAC level. Could play on some Big Ten teams. He's a good running back. The receivers they don't have a lot of burners, but they have a deep receiving core. They have they're going to be one of the two or three offenses in the MAC, which is an offensive league. They have a legitimate offense.
Yeah, Anthony Taylor, I think, is the running back you're talking about, right?
Really good.
Yeah.
Good player. Runs hard. He can, he's a good player.
UAB's program temporarily disbanded. Some teams benefited from that. For example, Indiana's starting running back was their 1,200-yard rusher last year. How have the UAB kids helped the Buffalo program? I think you had 2 or 3 of them there.
One is a contributor, and that's the slot receiver.
Colin Lisa.
Of your classic slot receiver, Colin Lisa.
Yeah.
Quick separation, gets open, great hands. He's going to catch some passes Saturday.
Yeah.
He's a good player, and he returns punts.
Yeah. All right, you talk about the offense. Now what about the defensive side?
Yeah, the offense is a quality, legitimate unit. The defense is all new, really, really young, inexperienced, not real physically impressive. So that's really where the worry for Buffalo in this game is. Buffalo's offense you could imagine Buffalo's offense having a reasonable game against Penn State, but the defense, I don't know how they're going to stop Penn State from a physical standpoint. Penn State should be able to line up and out-muscle Buffalo, and if they can't, that's real ringing big alarm bells for Penn State the rest of the season.
Okay. Buffalo getting into the MAC, what did that move mean long-term for the program, especially where they've been before?
Yeah, well, they've been in the MAC since 1999, but it's a good league for Buffalo. The MAC is a fun college football league. They score a lot of points. The games are exciting, fun to watch. And that's where they are. Buffalo is a very big school, 30,000 students.
Right.
From a research institution standpoint, it has a lot in common with some Big Ten schools. But, this is their league. It makes sense for them. It's a Midwest league. Buffalo is a Midwest type city. That's where they are.
How lost do they get in the wash in Buffalo because of
City? Yeah, I mean, the Bills own the town. I mean, the Bills have basically sold out their stadium for 15 years, even though they haven't made the playoffs for 15 years. They get lost a little bit. They average about 18 or 20,000, which is
not bad.
Second or third in the MAC. So they get a decent crowds for the Mac, and you know, I mean, there's really not. Well, I don't see much changing. I mean, in terms of them and their conference, really.
Yeah. No. In fact, I've seen the stadium once because I did a basketball game on campus and saw it. It's a nice 30,000 seat facility. I mean, very comparable to other MAC schools that I've seen.
Probably
Miami
a little
of
better, maybe a little bigger than some of the other MAC schools. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, very nice. I mean, they've done very well with it. For Lance Leopold, obviously, Bo Ryan at one point in his career coached at Whitewater and then ended up in Madison. Why make the move at this stage with all the success he had had there? And I know it's a step up, and I'm sure money's a part of this, but what other reasons?
I think he's age 50. It was either now or never. And he was sold on the potential of Buffalo. You know, the prominence of the school from an academic standpoint, and Buffalo really should be able to have a very successful program in the MAC. And so I think he had done everything there was to do at Whitewater. He was in an age where either it was now or never. And so he decided this was the right place. I think good coaches can coach anywhere. You have to look at the hottest coaches in college football from a buzz standpoint, Art Briles, Gus Malzahn and Hugh Freeze, and they were all coaching in high school 15 years ago, or 10 to 15 years ago.
Sure. Yeah. Are you surprised at it? I mean, he was 109-6 at Whitewater. So you would guess from the outside looking in, look, the guy's done a great job. He's in complete control. Are you surprised a bit by his management style?
No, he's not at all. I mean, he is definitely not a sort of Art Briles, Gus Malzahn, Chip Kelly, Andy Reid calling the plays, but there's lots of different ways to get it done. He's definitely an overseer, program builder who looks at the big picture. And I think in Buffalo, he's looking at the big picture. How are they going to, calling the right play on third down will get you so far, but having a home run hitter recruit will get you farther. He's going to look at the things that are going to make the biggest difference. He's certainly in the mold of many other successful coaches.
Yeah, Joe Licata is an upstate New York kid, but this is not an upstate New York roster. It's interesting. It seems like he didn't recruit these kids. There's only a few that he recruited. But how interesting is it that they have come far and wide and have taken an opportunity to go to Buffalo? Because there's some kids from Georgia here, Indiana, New York, Maryland, Ohio.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an issue. New York State is not a hotbed of recruiting. I think Penn State, I did affect the story. Penn State has 4 recruits. Pitt has 4 from New York. Syracuse only has 22. New York ranks 26th in football recruits over the last 3 years, which is low.
Wow.
Most of the states behind them are, North Dakota, schools that have no population. So, that's an issue. And it's partly because, we could go on and on about this, but there's no spring football. There's more regulations in New York State in terms of practicing and games. That means you get less developed prospects in general from New York State. So,
Is this mandated by Albany?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the good MAC teams, have had success going to Florida. I mean, you got to go where the mother load of talent is, and that's where it is. And getting a handful of recruits from Florida and Georgia. Buffalo got Khalil Mack from Florida. You have to be able to get a few players from there. But there are. Buffalo is going to UB to be successful is going to have to win some of the key recruiting. I mean, if you're not, they're never going to get Akeel Lynch,
right?
You know, pick Buffalo over Penn State. But the level of guys just below Akeel Lynch, they have to get all of those guys. And so Licata was a pretty good recruit, and he has proven to be, you know, a great, he's going to wind up being their all-time leading passer. And he is, you know, he is admirable to watch him play. He's just got great pocket presence. Now, you know, how much time will he have in the pocket? When he's got a clean pocket, he will skewer. If, you know, if Penn State, for some strange reason, can't get pressure, you know, they're in trouble despite their veteran secondary, because he will be throw and deliver really accurately. Now, I mean, I, certainly you would think Penn State would be able to get pressure up the middle against Buffalo. But if for some strange reason they don't, look out.
One final question, then I'll let you go, Mark. Thanks a lot for your time with Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News. I want to get back to the high school football issue for one moment. My cousin at one point coached in Waterloo, so I know a little bit about this. High school football on a Friday night here in this state is not just terrific in some ways, it's almost magical the way towns come together. Is it like that in New York, or have all the regulations taken the air out of it?
No, I mean, I have been to high school football games in Pennsylvania, and it's not, there are some programs where, it is big, but in general, no, it's not as big. And there are fewer big, real big schools. It seems it's more fractured, the school districts. So I know they're, you know, like Cathedral Prep in Erie is a really big, not a private school, but I mean, it's really big. There's just seems like there's not as many class AA, you know, big schools in New York State. No, it's not, can't compare to Pennsylvania and Ohio. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't good athletes.
Right.
There are still good athletes, but it takes their ceiling. They're not as fully developed right away when they come in general. So that's the end. And I would also say from a recruiting standpoint, it's a little bit more of a projection. Is this guy going to be, how good is this guy going to be for New York State kids? And that's why a lot of, Pennsylvania schools don't, spend, or other schools from other states don't spend a lot of time. Because, you know, you're recruiting dollars and you're recruiting time, more importantly, for a Penn State is minimal. And are you really going to spend two nights in a hotel and, you know, and the time in New York State when you know you're getting more of a finished product in, you know, Ohio or Maryland or Baltimore or where, whatever other city James Franklin wants to go to, you know?
Yeah. In fact, when Curtis Dukes came here, New York State product, I mean, he rang up some gaudy stats, but that's one of the things I noticed when he got here. The development curve was greater for him than other kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the upside for Buffalo is not as many schools are coming here to recruit.
That's
so
true.
So theoretically.
Yes.
Especially MAC level players, they could get and develop more. So we'll see. That's up to Lance Leipold.
Thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate it. That was a great conversation. I think you enlightened some people on a couple of things they didn't know about.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Mark Gaughan. Buffalo News. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
With winter weather just around the corner, contact a qualified service technician to ensure that your propane system is operating safely. Make sure that everyone in your family knows what propane smells like and what to do in the event of a gas leak, including knowing where the gas supply valve is and when and how to safely close it. Call us today to learn more.
Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Propane Gas Association and your local propane service providers.
It's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just going to keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Looking for comfortable, cost-effective heat? Look no further than Kohl's Hardware and Eaton Pure Heaters. The Eaton Pure Trusted Comfort Infrared Heater produces clean, economical heat and has no exposed heating elements that can cause a fire, making it safe for use near children and pets.
The Eaton Pure Trusted Comfort Heater saves you money. Eaton Pure Heaters provide penetrating heat only where and when it's needed. The Eaton Pure's power and portability deliver ultimate comfort, making it warm and cozy from head to toe, anywhere in your home.
And for added peace of mind, the Eaton Pure Trusted Comfort Heater comes with a 3-year warranty.
If you're looking for an efficient, cost-effective, and safe source of heat, visit the knowledgeable professionals at Kohl's Hardware for expert guidance every step of the way.
Check out the sale prices in our new circular at kohlshardware.com and sign up for exclusive online offers year-round. We're right around the corner, right here in your hometown. Come on home to Kohl's, your home for Eden Pure heaters.
Eden Pure and Kohl's Hardware. Come on home to Kohl's.
You may not know it, but your company's always under attack from hackers, spammers, and other criminals.
Sooner or later, without Pentella Data's DDoS mitigation, your network's bound to fail.
But our protection works off-site, watching, waiting, and catching thousands of attacks in real time,
keeping bad data away from your servers.
So even if there's a battle happening in the cloud or here on the ground, it's business as usual.
It's all possible with the next-generation network from Pentella Data.
Now, more than ever, businesses need IT support to be successful. Just look at how Pentella Data's IT pros are assisting the Lehigh Valley's pros. The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms utilize Pentella Data IT services to make their day-to-day business run smooth, from wireless guest services to their point-of-sale operations and their servers. We're there because IT is our game, and it's in our name. Pentella Data IT Services. We're in it.
Advertising wise, and we've talked about the DraftKings phenomenon. They are trying their best to cut into FanDuel's numbers. DraftKings was the number one advertiser for the weekend. Guess how much they spent, Kevin?
I'm just gonna take a stab in the dark. I know I saw them a lot. I would have to say 10 mil.
$23 million.
I mean, I know I saw them like on 7 different networks all weekend.
They just received a $3 million infusion of cash because they were able to put together deals with several groups, which Major League Baseball, Fox, the NHL, MLS, and others. And their $250 million deal with ESPN and owner Disney fell through. They still have partnerships with ESPN. They got $300 million from the other deals. They spent $23 million on advertising. Now, I refer to DraftKings, tell me I'm wrong, as soft gambling.
It's more of a game than it is a gamble.
Right. You can't tell me it's not gambling.
No, I'm not. I'm saying it feels you're playing a game, though.
We have had very enlightened callers on this show that have called in. And I've asked each one of them because I've done it as an education piece on my part. I said, do you feel like you're gambling? And every single person that we've had call the show that has used it, I said, oh, yeah. AT&T was second at $22 million for their campaign. Warner Brothers, The Intern, $16 million. Geico's campaign, $13 million for the weekend. The U.S. Army spent $9.2 million. Universal Pictures for their movie Everest spent $9 million. Ford spent $8.4 million. McDonald's, their Lovin' Is All Around campaign, spent $8.2 million. Nissan spent a little bit more than $8 million. And 20th Century Fox for their movie Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, spent a little bit more than $8 million. Yeah. That's the top 10 advertisers for the weekend. But DraftKings spent 23 $1,131,936. Man, how about that? Now, I have brought this up for a reason because it's to me, it's soft gambling. The 2006 internet law allows this to exist. To their credit, as a business, they're allowed to exist. To their credit, they have taken fantasy between themselves and FanDuel to a completely different level. But what's interesting is every time I've opened up the lines to have fans talk about it, and I have asked them, all right, do you feel like you're gambling? I thought a couple would say no. Every single one of them, Kevin, has said yes. But it also opens up the 1835 market.